Blog Talk Radio. Wow.
This is All it About is Wine, a talk show dedicated to the wine industry since 2009, featuring winemaker, cellar master, vineyardist, and tasting expert, Ron.
Basically, what we're trying to do in this program is just trying to educate people and trying to make wine less confusing and more friendly.
From coast to coast and around the world.
You know, we really have had some neat people on the program. I love that.
Post your questions and comments during the live show on our Facebook page at www.facebook.com/allaboutwineetr. Again, that's www.facebook.com/allaboutwineetr. And now, All About Wine is on.
It is. Here we are.
Here's
Yay.
All right.
Thank you, Bus People. We're having beautiful weather here in Florida, and Bus People are just really enjoying this. Got up to 81, 82 today, and clear skies and slight breeze, and all around the country they're freezing and it's cold and the roads are icy. And so, yes,
so
I know. I am bragging a little bit. So,
Come join us. I mean, you know,
yes,
temporarily. Come join us temporarily.
And go back home. A lot of people do. We get a lot of snowbirds here. But have a guest tonight, Mike and Felicia. I met them playing golf. I'll give you the little background. They haven't contacted us yet. But I've mentioned before that I work as a ranger on a golf course, which is a person that just jumps in the cart and rides around and be sure everybody is being good. And I also have other duties like picking up the garbage, and sometimes I close the place on Saturday nights. I close the place and I go and lock up the gates and bathrooms and stuff. But as a ranger, I get to meet a lot of people out there, and I also play golf. And one day I was out there playing golf, and we got matched up with a couple of people, Mike and Felicia. And as we were talking, I told them about the radio show, All About Wine, and they mentioned that they have done some extensive traveling over to Europe and Germany and Italy and France. And Felicia has done some traveling to Portugal and wine countries there and all that. And so I mentioned 2 weeks ago, if you guys are listening, contact me. We'll get you on the show. Well, they didn't contact me there. They contacted me at the golf course. I was working a week ago, and they came in. They had their son with them and said that I asked them if they'd like to be on the show, and they said it sounds like fun. And it is going to be fun. And they're also sitting there waiting to join us. I hope that's them anyway. I don't know their numbers, so I guess that's it. So, why don't we just bring them on the show and we'll start visiting with them. Hello, Mike and Felicia. Welcome to All About Wine.
Ron.
Hi, Ron. Can you hear us?
Oh, I can hear you fine. Yeah, you're coming through.
Yes.
Coming through great. The other person, I got another Mike in the background here who is my tech and co-host, and so if you hear him jumping there, hear another strange noise in the laughter or something, that's probably him. So. See?
Okay.
So, welcome to All About Wine. I was just sharing there how we happened to meet and got you guys on the show. You are originally from where?
We're from Marquette, Michigan, Ron.
Marquette, Michigan.
The Upper Peninsula.
Oh, Burr. You know, you just say that and I get cold. It doesn't take any more than just say that area and it just makes you cold. But you have traveled extensively to wine regions around the world. And that's the reason I asked you to join us on the show tonight. So I'm going to let you guys talk for a while and tell us about some of your trips, some of the wines that you've done, how they presented, what it all about, and everything. I'm just going to let you do some talking here.
Sure. Well, I can kind of tell you how we got started. I took a class at our local university called the International Study of Wine. Oh. And it was a fantastic semester-long class. And we learned so much, but every student had to pick a country and then do a presentation a wine tasting. So, yeah, it was really cool. And I happened to pick Portugal. I didn't know really anything about Portugal, but, boy, I sure learned a lot. And Mike and I just fell in love with Portugal. So, anyway, I learned about all of the wine that they produce there, and one in particular was port wine. And I had never tried port wine, didn't know a lot about it. And I learned that port wine from Portugal is made from grapes that are grown in the Douro Valley. And then port has an alcohol added to it. They call it brandy, but it stops the fermentation process. So you end up with this really great tasting, sweeter wine in some cases, and probably in most cases. But and there's a whole bunch of different varieties of port. But so in learning about Portugal, Mike and I said, well, let's go visit and let's go to the Douro Valley.
All right.
And so we did. And I mean, it's a fantastic area. And we flew from Sault Ste., Canada, and then Toronto. And there was a direct flight from Toronto to Lisbon. So we spent some time in Lisbon. And then we had it all planned ahead of time, but we took the train then to Porto, which is where they basically, Porto stores port wine in these casks. They're like all over the city. Really, really cool. And then from there, you can take the train to the Douro Valley. And we had two nights in the Douro Valley, and it was just, you sit out on your little deck and have some wine and cheese, and you're overlooking these terraced vineyards. You know, it was just beautiful. But we just fell in love with Portugal because there's great wine. There's wool. There's cork. There's olive oil. There's so much history there. It's a great place to visit.
It is fantastic. A little extra to that. We have talked about port on the program and about all the different types of port and everything. So if someone, Felicia just said, if you want to check back on archives, we've had shows that have been dedicated to port, and you can get more information about port. Also, there is a movie that's out. And Mike, I'm going to have you, not my Mike, not you, Mike. Mike, I'm going to have you check out the movie and let us know what that is. I forgot.
Was it the documentary?
Yeah, the documentary.
Okay.
I'd like to know about that.
Yeah, it was a great documentary, and it was done right there in the rural region of Portugal, and it was about people, and it showed them harvesting and different things. It was fantastic. Really, really interesting documentary. And
that's the one we had the director or somebody on the show.
Yeah, the director was on the show. Yeah,
yeah, that's right. Okay, I'll look it up. I'll find out.
Yeah,
okay, thank you.
One of the things he said, he was on the show, and one of the things he said, which you probably weren't told this while you're there, but they have found an enormously large deposit of lithium in the ground in the hills where their vineyards are planted. And with all the electronics and everything around the world and the supply of lithium that will be needed, they are a little concerned about the future of the Doral Valley region because of the amount of lithium that was discovered there. So,
that's interesting.
It could be something in the future that could be an issue, a major issue for that area to handle and to look at and all that. I mean, you know, obviously lithium is going to be needed to make the batteries that we're doing. Is it going to be worth selling vineyards that have been established and to get the instant riches of lithium? I don't know. It's just, but it was an interesting point that he brought up. So,
Well, I hope that doesn't happen.
Yeah, me too. Because I am a big port fan. I really enjoy a good port. In fact, when I had the winery out on State Road 52, I used to make a strawberry port, which was a very big seller.
How did you age that?
Very little.
Oh, okay.
I used Plant City strawberries and fermented and fortified, and I wasn't an aged port. It was a pretty quick release port, actually, but fortifying it also with brandy and bringing the alcohol up, but it was sweet and had this underlying strawberry, and I would have loved to share a bottle with you, but alas, there is none in existence unless some people out there have some stuck away somewhere.
It sounds delicious.
Yeah, it was very good, very popular. So Mike was a big fan of it.
Oh, huge. Carlos Carniero was on the show October 7th, 2021, and he is the director of A Wonderful Kingdom documentary. That was the show. He was born and raised in Porto, Portugal, to London, studied film, and got married in New York, and his mother's from Douro Valley, and was talking about port the whole show. So and he did the movie. So that's what it's called, A Wonderful Kingdom. If you get the chance,
A Wonderful Kingdom.
Yeah, you can find that online too. I don't know. I can't remember. It was like, $4.99 or something, if I remember correctly. But yeah, it's a great show. If you've been there, I highly recommend you check it out, because it's really interesting. They interview this old guy on the show about the region and stuff like that, and they go around and talk about it. It's very, very interesting. So, Wonderful Kingdom.
We will watch it for sure.
Yeah, it's worth the time to spend, especially since you've been there. You see it. So, I interjected on there on that. Not my mic. Your mic. you were going to add something to Felicia's story there, I thought. Well,
I was just going to add that, it was just so amazing, the town of Porto. I mean, how much warehousing they had to store this port wine. When you looked across the river, all you would see would be warehousing for all the port. It was beautiful. And, and beside, we enjoyed it so much, we ended up going back three different trips. And beside the port and the wine and the food, the museums, the churches, we went to a coach museum, which was just beyond anything I ever thought I'd see. And the people were so nice. It was just, we want to go back.
And
we
yet
can't
again,
wait to go back.
Most people speak English?
Yes, they did. Yes.
Oh, that's good. So
we went into a few restaurants where they didn't speak English, but we really had not an issue to get our order in and everything. So, yeah, everybody was so nice. It was just unbelievable. And the price of wine was just incredible, what you could buy.
Could you, now, if you want to bring wine back, say you want to bring port back, what was the rules and regulations on that?
Because we're going through Canada, we're only allowed so many liters to bring back. But other than that,
I think we could each bring like two bottles.
Two bottles, yes.
And that was it. Wow. Could you have it shipped to you? I mean, was it just cost prohibitive?
That? We couldn't investigate that at the time. But, so I don't know.
We bought an older bottle of port, and that was, we saved it for many years. And then finally, we had it at a special occasion.
Yeah, that was a 1972 port.
Yes.
That was a good year, 72. That was one of the better years out of Portugal. Yeah. Portugal, that's when you look up port, 72 is one of the better years coming out of Portugal. The warehouses now, that fascinates me because when you start talking about Portugal and wines and stuff like that, they go into the grapes and the process, but the warehouses aren't mentioned. And obviously you have to have them aged somewhere because there's obviously aged port. Are these warehouses just general warehouses for all the port district, or are they for each vineyard or each manufacturer? How does that work?
Each manufacturer has their own warehousing.
Okay. Yeah. Well, that would make more sense, actually, instead of trying to do it together. Oh, well, that's cool. And so Portugal, obviously, is one of your favorites, but you have been to other wine areas over there in Europe.
Well, yes, I was able to travel with our daughter and son-in-law. Mike couldn't go. I forget, you hurt your leg or something. But so we went to France. And, of course, we only had a week. Our son-in-law is a teacher, so we just had a week during spring break. And we went to Paris and we visited everything there. And then we went to Epernay, which is the champagne capital of the world.
Oh.
And that was a nice experience. It was fun walking down the main street in Epernay, and it was nothing but champagne house after champagne house. And we booked a tour at one of the producers, and we went down underground. And that's where they stored the champagne. And it was really interesting. They call it a cave. And it was like a cave. And then, you know, after the tour, you get to do a sampling and all of that. But, that was a really neat place. Got to see a statue of Dom Perignon.
The father of champagne. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So that was really cool. And then most recently, we did not get to Germany. You mentioned Germany, but that's on our bucket list because I know there's a lot of great wine in Germany.
My bucket list too. Yeah.
My daughter and I just went to Italy in October, and we were in the in Tuscany, and we did two wine tours while we were there on two different days. And so we learned about Brunello, and we were able to go to three different vineyards that produce Brunello. And then the other one was Montepulciano. Mm-hmm. That was the grape that is grown there. So there's so much to know. And, you know, it's just endless.
Yes, it is. Yeah, I know. No question about that. Between the two grapes, the Brunello and the Montepulciano, which one is your favorite?
You know, we really liked the Montepulciano. That I mean, the Brunello, they said that grape has only been around for like 80 years. And it's,
yeah,
you know, it's
for
so
history
specialized.
Yeah,
but it's really specialized and controlled. So it's very expensive. But, and honestly, neither my daughter nor I liked it as well as the other one.
Hmm.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Yeah.
So, you know, everybody has their own preference, I guess. But what's your favorite?
Yeah, you know, that's I'm asked that quite often, and what I usually, if I'm going to be stuck on a island and I can only have one wine, and that's it, it would either be a Barbera or you know, and it's always hard, but Barbera would be running up there, and a Cabernet Franc. Yeah, you know, that those are two wonderful red wines, and I like them both, but
those are good ones.
And it's so hard. It's so hard to choose, you know, one grape out of the hundreds and hundreds of possibilities out there and all that. But, you know, Carmenere, that's another one out of Chile that I absolutely love. There are some great, Cabernet Sauvignon is always the go-to grape for so many people. And I always love a good Cabernet and Sauvignon Blanc for a white wine. And, you know, some German Rieslings are just wonderful. And, so to say what is my favorite grape, it would really, really be difficult to try to pin it down to one. If I had to, I don't know, I would probably say Cabernet Franc with Barbera giving it a good run for its money. I really like a Cabernet Franc. And I've had some great ones out of California a few years ago. It's not made as a varietal as much as some of the others, but it's really a wonderful grape. So I was going to ask you about the champagne houses, though. Is that made just for tourists? I can't see locals going there and frequenting all that enough to keep them in business. So is that
it's not really for tourists. I mean, it is their production and storage area. Yeah. And they just happen to do, you know, tours because – I don't know. It wasn't even, I don't think it was very expensive to do the tour and the tasting, but it was great. And there are so many champagne houses there, big ones and small ones. And it's the area where it's all produced. And
that's the only place it's produced, correct?
Yeah,
right,
technically
right.
That's the only place you can do it. Champagne. Now, the rest of the place has to be sparkling wine or any of the other names that they call them around the world. But, you know, for champagne, that is the only place you can do it. But it seems to me, you mentioned, champagne house, that's a champagne house. Are they, it's not particularly storefronts, though. It's just production.
Yes, I mean, most of them have maybe a visitor's area or a wine shop. We went into a few of them and it seemed like you could do a tasting in many of them. I should have had my daughter join our call because she would have more, a better memory and take on everything there. But I don't know. It was just really interesting. And
I can imagine.
There weren't very many other tourists there.
Really? It just seems like the Champagne region of France, it seems like it would just be swamped with tourists, especially in October, which is, would be a good time of year to go there. I mean,
this was actually in like March. It was
March.
Our son-in-law's spring break. Yes.
Okay. Well, still, that seems like it'd be a good time of year to go there too, because it's not, you know, really bad weather and anything, and it'd be a pretty decent season. So, but it surprised me that you. I don't know. I would picture it as something different than just the houses. I would picture it as a tourist area more than anything. But yeah, I've never been there, so
yeah.
I can't compare it to something in Napa and Sonoma and stuff like that, or even Finger Lakes areas and stuff where you've got the tourist aspect of it more so than anything. Of course, that's where they make it and all that. But it seems like, you know, when you say streets of Champagne, you would almost picture just storefronts where they're selling their ware and all that, and more than anything else. At least that's how I picture it anyway. So,
yeah. And my daughter just texted and she said, yeah, it wasn't touristy at all. I mean, it's like you're seeing, you know, their production area.
Oh, wow. That's surprising that they'd all be right there like that.
And that was in the town of Epernay. And there are other towns like Reims, R-E-I-M-S. That was another area. Now, that seemed, we actually took the train to Reims at the end of our day, and so we had a little bit of time there. That seemed more touristy. That was more like a, you know, there were lots, it was a bigger city for one thing. Epernay is a small town. And I'm just looking at how many Champagne houses are in Epernay. There are more than 300 Champagne houses.
Oh my gosh.
So, yeah.
Oh my gosh. And you hear, well, they obviously must just make enough champagne to satisfy the sales there in France and maybe in Europe. But, you know, we don't get that many shipped over to the States or even to Canada from there. I mean, there's not 300 French champagnes on the shelf in any of these places. So.
Right. I know. We get, I mean, some of the big ones, though. I mean, we're able to buy that great champagne from Epernay. I mean, even in our little town in, you know, Marquette, Michigan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How far outside of Paris are these places?
I know we took the train. I think it was probably a couple hours ride from Paris.
Wow. So it's a little ways out there. Yeah.
Yes.
Because those trains aren't like 40, 50 miles an hour. They're not like subways. They're like trains.
Right. Yeah.
So then,
okay.
Is your daughter texting you again?
No, I was going to say, I just looked. It's 142 kilometers from Paris.
Oh, the kilometer is less than a mile.
It was a couple hour train ride anyway.
Yeah.
And we just rented a little VRBO while we were there, a VRBO, which whenever we travel over to Europe, that's what we do, is a VRBO, because then you're almost like you're a local, and it really adds to the experience.
Oh, well, that's a good way to do it. Do you have to book in advance, or
yeah.
Can you do it once you're there?
Yeah. No, you have to really do it ahead of time. It's kind of a hobby of mine, and So I have it all set up, and we know what we're going to do every day, and you know where we're going to stay, and
she spends months at this, Ron, getting everything in order, and we've never had a bad trip.
So when you're ready to go, Ron, let me know. I'll help plan your trip.
There you go. I will definitely keep you in mind. That's the way to do it. So we got Portugal, we got France. You said you've been to Italy?
Yes. Well, that was where my daughter and I went in October, and where we tried the Brunello and the Montepulciano, yeah.
And Sarah Kyan, our daughter, years ago also.
Where you were in that would be northern Italy?
Yes. It's northwestern Italy. And Italy is kind of mind boggling because there are 21, I think it was 20 or 21 different like regions. And each one of them has their own characteristic food and wine. And I mean, Italy is a really cool place too. When Mike and Sarah and I went years ago, we just went to Rome and Venice. I mean, we never get, you know, very long at one time because we were working. We hadn't retired then, but so, you know, we had a limited amount of time. So we just went to Rome and Venice before, and then this time Sarah and I had a little bit more time when we went to Tuscany, but yeah, there's so much to see and do.
Oh, it's just absolutely amazing what they have over there and what's available. There was another movie you might be interested in that we talked to the director. This was about where grapes started. This was... Oh, I can't think of the name of that one either. Mike, if you can remember. But it was talking about the
Lebanon,
Wine and War.
7,000 years ago. Yeah, Wine and War. That was another
wine
one.
Wine and War.
Yeah. Yeah. And they talked, the movie was about the growing grapes in Lebanon and that area over there where they started to grow grapes eons ago. And they have, you know, there's always been a conflict, it seems like they're saying, in that area. And it was an interesting documentary on that. And they had some nice interviews and all that with people there also. So something else. I think all these are on the All About Wine Facebook page, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay.
So... you can check out that. I mean, I'm not just telling you. I'm telling anybody out there listening if they happen to not catch those earlier on All About Wine. Everything's available there. So the Mike, I didn't hear from you. What's your favorite wines on these trips?
My favorite wine from these trips?
Yes.
I guess I'm going to say the wines that we've had in the Douro Valley. I think.
Oh yeah.
Were my favorites. Yes.
You like those ports?
Yeah, I love those. Well, we love the Tomty and the Ruby ports. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we've tried to purchase many of them, different kinds, to try different kinds, and you know when you start doing this, then you get a little collection at home.
Very quickly.
Yes. So every once in a while, we will open something that's 2006 or 2004, and that's fun. That's fun.
Yes. Well, port
well,
is
you know,
always.
Ron...
Go on.
Oh, go ahead. No, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say port's always fun. Ports is there's so many different aspects of ports that people don't get into because it tends to be sweeter and. They aren't all sweet. There are some drier ones out there, and people just don't explore them enough. They think that they're just too strong and they stay away from them. But like you discovered, like you're saying, there's some great ones out there.
And we've introduced them to many of our friends, which, and they've never tried them, you know, and once they try them, they like them.
Yeah. Well, that's, you know, people just stay away from them. I don't know why, because port doesn't have a bad reputation. It's just the fact that people just think, ooh, port, and they just don't try them. I don't understand that myself.
Exactly, yes.
You know, Felicia, you want to say something?
Yes. Well, I was going to say that many years ago, we used to belong to a wine club. It was Clos de Bois from California. We went out there. This was a long time ago, and we went to their
vineyards.
Yeah, vineyard, and we tasted their wine, and it was really good. And it was free to join their wine club, and it was a really good deal. You could get like three bottles of wine 4 times a year, and it was really not expensive at all. And it was a wonderful way to learn about, you know, what they had to offer. And they had recipes that are food pairing, information, that they would send along with the wine shipment. And that was really great. But I don't know, it seems like, well, they, I know, got bought out by a big conglomerate that I think bought out probably a lot of vineyards in California. What are your thoughts on that?
There are a lot of big, you can look, and I've seen charts and all that shows a parent company, which is, well, Gallo is one of them. And you put me, I can't think of, I can see the name, but I can't say. But there's like 5 major companies out there that own wineries from around the world. And it saves some of the small ones from going under, from being having to shut down completely. That's one good thing about it. But one bad thing about it is it just all joins under the big corporate head. And I have mixed thoughts on it.
It started more Lexion rather than, you know, the little mom and pop places that we saw when we were out there 40 years ago.
Exactly. And I think that's one of the things I don't like about it, because it does tend to lose that mom and pop atmosphere, that little small production and the little things that they can do it. Paso Robles, I don't know if you've been into that region or not, is down south of Monterey, and it's a great wine producing region now. And there are lots and lots of little, small mom-and-pop operations, which you go into the hills just west of Paso Robles, and you can find somebody that has 5 acres there that's putting out a great Cabernet Franc, or someone that has 6 acres that's producing nothing but Cabernet Sauvignon, and it's just fantastic, or here's another one that has Chardonnay that is just out of this world. And that's all they do. But then the big conglomerates come in and say, I'll give you more money than you ever think you're going to get for this. And they'll go, okay. And that's it.
Yeah.
There's no questions, no anything about it. And the big conglomerates don't continue to make these wines the way that they were made by these individuals. They basically buy the vineyard and use the grapes from the vineyard to put it into the other stuff that they're doing. And again, I have mixed feelings. I like these little small places. When I lived in California, I used to go to Napa and Sonoma, down to Paso Robles and Livermore, and visit small wineries and got to know the winemakers and got to know the people personally and all that. And now a lot of those have been sucked up into the big corporations and stuff, and you don't have that intimacy, if you will, that you used to have. So, I again, mixed emotions about it. I like the little small ones. I for selling out, though, because they're usually given more money than they think they're going to make, and it's becoming tougher and tougher to make ends meet with insurance and cost and all the stuff that's involved. And so, but, you know, I, again, can't blame them, but I'm going to miss a lot of them.
Oh, yes.
Right.
Yes.
And I don't know if it's, you know, if it's the control that the European countries have over their wine. I mean, they don't seem to have that kind of problem where they're getting, I mean, maybe that's why they don't, because they've got, you know, the whole wine industry is controlled by, I mean, it's not their government, but.
Yeah, it is the government. The government has a lot of control
over
it. Yeah. What they can do, what the vineyards can do, what the, you know, there is a lot of government regulations that they have to follow. And I think it's good to a point, because you know what you're going to get. I mean, like, for example, the new rules that just went in by the Italian government of how long a Chianti Classico can age and how it should be aged and the grapes that go into it and all that. And it, you talk to the wineries there that are making it, and they're saying, this is great. This is wonderful, because the ones that are doing it have been doing it. And with the regulations, it stops a lot of these little small ones that are on the fringe of the Chianti Classico from copying them, because they don't meet criteria. So it's it's a good thing to a point, I think. But, you know, trying to put the United States or Canada on that same type of regulation, I think it'll be too much of a rebelling. And there's a lot of wineries over in France and Italy that are owned by these big conglomerates. I can't think of, what is the one I'm trying to think of. It's driving me nuts now. I'm trying to. There's Gallo that owns it. Constellation. There's another one. Constellation brand. They own a whole lot of wineries, and a lot of them overseas too. You know, in France, Italy, that area, Spain, and I see Constellation, Gallo, and I'll think of it later tonight. So but there's a lot of these big ones, though, are starting to spread their fingers overseas. And, you know, I hate to see it happen, but I can't blame them for doing that. You know,
it's just another arm of a business,
Yeah, it's just money. I mean, you know, it's some of these small wineries, especially around the Napa fringes and Sonoma and Mendocino and all that stuff, the fires are just tearing them up there. And if it doesn't get them, then the fire insurance is just getting out of hand. And it's the same thing's happening in different wineries in France right now in weather-related disasters. Late frost is killing a lot of grapevines and destroying yearly crops. Hailstorms. The last 3 years, they've had devastating hailstorms over in Europe in different areas. And things like this, little small wineries can't survive it. It's, you know, when you, it's like those subsistence farmers who go from crop to crop, and if something happens to one of their crops, it's almost impossible to dig out of it. And the same thing happens with these small wineries, small vineyards. Something happens to a crop, and it's almost impossible for them to get themselves out of that situation. So. But yeah, yeah, I'll get off my soapbox here.
Well, it's interesting. Yeah.
Well, the weather is really making a difference, you know, and I've talked about on the program here, I've talked about the climate change and how weather's affecting vineyards and the grapes and all that. And I think it's a lot of these small wineries in different areas have to help each other and have to turn to, you know, government, well, not government particularly, but schools and stuff like that that are working with this and working with them, because they're not going to survive this if they don't. So that's one of the problems they're facing, you know. So, now, so Europe, it sounds like your European travelers, have you done any vineyards here and wineries here in the States?
Well, actually, 6 months ago, well, it was late summer, we went to some of the Michigan wineries.
Traverse City area.
Traverse City area, yeah. Mm-hmm. Michigan does stay.
Leelanau Peninsula, it's called. Mm-hmm.
The Upper Peninsula, yeah. Yeah. University of Michigan and University of Minnesota, both of them are doing a lot of research on cold weather grapes, and along with Cornell University over in New York. But those are some of the big ones, and they got them planted all over in that area up there. Ones that we're not used to the names of, though. So did you taste anything that was new and unusual that stuck out to you?
No. We went to two different vineyards and did two, you know, a tasting at each one. But we can't say, I don't think any of the, either of the, none of the four of us really thought, you know, a lot about it. I mean, they were okay, but I don't even remember what we tried. Well, they had a variety, yeah, the different grapes, but I don't remember what they
Nothing
were.
Nothing really jumped out at you, huh?
No.
Huh, yeah. That's one of the things we're saying in the the hybrid grapes that they're coming out with make them cold weather hardy, and it's hard for people to become accustomed to them because they're so used to the standard ones that we've grown up with and that we've learned to like, and they come up with something new, and it's hard to get a following on those. Obviously, just like you. I mean, nothing struck you as being outstanding, so that's what happens. You know what I'm saying? Oh, I was going to ask, too. You said you had tastings at two places. Did they charge you for the tastings?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
How much?
Yes, they did. I think, actually, the one place, it was like $10 for a glass of wine.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
And I've talked about this before. That's what I was asking. I talked about it before on the show about how tastings are starting to cost more and more, and I just wonder if they've reached that area. But Travis City area is a wine region, and so you're going to get a lot of tourists there, and so they can't just be pouring out free wine all day long,
And their wines were $40, $50 a bottle.
Oh, were they? Wow.
Yeah. I thought that was a little much.
Yeah, that's not inexpensive at all. Wow.
No.
Well, they have a real short growing season.
Again, that's why they're coming out with the cold, hardy grapes, the ones that will make it through the winter and start producing sooner, so that gives them a little bit longer season to produce and ripen and you know, get the sugars in them and all that stuff.
Yeah, interesting.
Yes. So, Ron, one of the tastings we had There's a TV show, it's called Oak Island.
Oh, yeah. Where they're looking. That's on Discovery Channel.
Yes, well, those fellas are from Traverse City.
Oh.
So Marty has a vineyard there. So we went to his vineyard, and beautifully built with stone and just amazing. So that was interesting for us to do. Yes.
But he has the money to do that.
Oh, yes. Yeah. He's got the money.
which is what it takes. You know, it's just, is, you know, there's no saying in the wine business. He said, you know how to make a small fortune in the wine business? You start with a large fortune.
Very nice.
I can imagine. But see, you remember the vineyard and you don't remember the wine. That's a.
But they weren't exceptional at all. And there were four of us there, and all four of us like wine, but nobody found, we didn't buy anything, so I guess that tells you something.
Yeah, really. I mean, if you really like a wine that jumps out at you, you'll spend the $40 for a bottle of it to enjoy it later. But, you know.
Yes.
Well, that's an interesting observation on your part there, that they weren't that memorable.
And Traverse City is known for cherries. And so a lot of their wines are sweet wine, sweeter wine. And we like the drier wines.
Oh, ourselves. And then yet you're pork fans. Which,
right?
Some of those would be sweet. You know.
That's dessert.
There you go. That's what it is, That's it's too bad I don't have a strawberry port to share with you. The Traverse City, though, it's the region around there, it would seem like, is it, well, I've talked to wineries up there, too, in that area there, and we've talked about the cherry wines. In fact, when I had the winery, I started to ask people to bring me wine from different states. My goal was to get a bottle of wine from every state in the nation, which I did accomplish my goal, and it only took about, 14 months to do it. It surprised me how quickly I got wines from every state. But every time somebody, and since we are where we are in Florida, we get a lot of snowbirds from Michigan and Minnesota and that area there. And so I would have people bring me wine down from Michigan rather often, and almost every time it was a cherry wine because of the region. And some very good ones, though, I have to say. There were some very good, not sweet cherry wines, but there were some very good drier style cherry wines that I had from there. And I didn't drink them all myself. Let me qualify this. I didn't drink them. I used to teach a class once a month. And during the class, I would brown bag one of the wines from a different state and just have the people in the class tell me about it and all that. And then I'd show them what it was. And so it was just a fun thing we did. But, a lot of them from that area were cherry wines. They were really, really interesting. So, Mike, do you have any comments or anything you'd like to ask Mike or Felicia?
Felicia's the expert.
Well, no. I was just going to tell you, Ron, about a really cool thing that happened during COVID. We have a great little wine store in our town called Everyday Wines, and they decided to do online. I think they did it just monthly, but anyway, they would feature different wines. And if you wanted to, you know, you could go to their store and get the wine, and then they would, you would, it was a Zoom meeting basically. You would log into it, and they would do a tasting, and then they would talk about it. Yeah. And so we participated every month religiously, and it was so much fun, and we would make food, you know, to go along with it. But you could do that some night for your show.
That's a possibility. We talked to quite a few people who do Zoom meetings and wine tastings and all that remotely. But, you know, the sad thing is, if I can do it without having people see me, then I can handle that. But, you know, I would have
You wouldn't even need to do Zoom. I mean, even just what you're doing now, just, you know.
We probably have maybe 40 participants every month. Zoom, and then people would put in little comments.
But we were typing all of our comments. So with something like what you've got, you know, they could all be, you know, basically skin and disgust. As it was, it was only the people, you know, who were hosting it from our wine store. You know, they were doing the comments, and then they would read sometimes what people had commented. But
it was fun, Ron. We did it with our son-in-law and daughter. And at the end of our tasting, we would all, okay, did you like, which wine did you like? You know, and we'd pick one, two, three, or four, and just to see how we compared them between each other. It was actually an enjoyable time.
You know, that might be something to look at doing, like, you know, 6 months down the road and looking at, you know, people picking up a couple of wines and we just doing a tasting with everybody and just comparing that way. That's something I may entertain more there and see about. Mike, do you have any questions for Felicia and Mike or comments or anything?
No, I think I'm good. There was something that I was thinking of earlier, and I forgot what it was. But
I do that all the time.
It'll come to me in a couple of weeks, and we'll have to have him on again. So
there you go. By the way, remember?
Yes. Another hour just to, because I remembered what I was going to. I can't remember for the life of me what it was.
I do that a lot.
No. Did you? Oh, okay. How about this one? Did you ever have an interest in starting your own wine production or doing your own wine? I mean, you said you. I mean, it was only a semester long class, but Felicia said that she went and did the international study of wine and, you know, learned about it. Did you ever have an interest maybe in starting something?
Mike, no. I just enjoy trying trying wine and learning about it. That's enough for me. That in itself is a lot.
She'd rather spend her spare time playing golf than
that's true. There's only so much time.
That's right. And you spend that playing golf. There you go.
All right.
But Felicia really enjoy pairing wine with they're both great cooks too. So when they cook something, they get together and they make sure the right wine is with what the meal is they're preparing, and that's really enjoyable.
Very
nice.
Wine and food. Wine by itself is fantastic, and a dish by itself is fantastic. But when you pair the two up, the difference in the flavors of both of them are just outstanding. And so it's great to pair the wine and food and come up with the taste that you're looking for on that. It makes so much of a difference. And
it does.
I want to suggest too, don't be afraid to try other things with it. You know, you said you like dry wines and you make yourself a dish, but don't be afraid to try a sparkling wine with one of your dishes, or even a dry port, or different things like that. Jump out there and try different things, because you would be amazed at how much it really does enhance the food if you try stuff that you normally wouldn't think. I mean, it's what, think outside the box, if you will. So
yes.
Keep that.
Yes,
we do. We try to.
Yes.
Yeah. It makes a big difference. Well, any last comments from either one of you?
Well, Mike and Ron, we really appreciate you having us on.
Oh,
and
well,
we
thank you.
Really enjoyed meeting you, Ron, too.
Oh, yeah.
Very nice.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you for taking the time out to talk with us about your travels and your interest in wine and all that. And I will see you when you heading out of this area here, when you head north.
We have to leave on the 22nd of this month. This coming Wednesday.
But we're just moving to a different part of Florida. We're not actually going north until the end of April.
Okay, where's your next stop?
We are going to Fort DeSoto.
Oh, okay.
And just for a short time, and we're going to end up going over to Melbourne on the East Coast. That's where I went to college, so we're going to look up some of our the old places we went to, and then heading north to the panhandle, basically. But
So you've got some time left here in Florida. Well, there are wineries in Florida to visit, so be sure to check
are
them
there?
Out. Yeah, there's
we
quite
will,
a few
I
actually.
Will.
There's like 32 of them. Yeah, some of them south of here, but there's some in the panhandle. There's some over on the East Coast there. They're all over the place. Go to
Bunker Hill. There's Whispering Oaks. That's north of you though.
That's north of us. There's
always Oxford. I went to one in Vero Beach a year ago. That was good.
Yeah.
I don't know if you're in that going towards there, but
yes.
Yeah,
we'll be over that way. Okay, I didn't honestly. Did not know that. We will.
Yeah.
We will.
There's some up in the panhandle.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So go to. If you stop by one of these welcome centers or something, there's a pamphlet of Florida wineries that you can get.
Oh.
And it tells you all the wineries of Florida and has a little map of them and all that. It's been so long since I've use some of these sources that I can't remember.
Well,
that's
we'll be
sad.
Able to find you.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's probably
yeah,
something
just,
I can find online. Yeah.
Yeah. Just go to Florida Wineries. Go online, go to Florida Wineries, and I'm sure it will have quite a bit of information for you there. Catch Wine. And that's another great source that I always use,
catchwine.com.
It lists all the states in the nation, and it has lists of wineries in all the states of all the states. And it's a great source. It tells you where the wineries are, how far they are from another winery, and just different information, websites and stuff. So you might check that out too, catchwine.com.
Okay. Got it.
And then look up Florida wineries, and you'll see quite a few on that. I think we're up two now, something like that in Florida. So they're all over the state. And
I'm
so
scrolling through them.
There's a lot of them out there. And most of them are sweet. Most of them are muscadine grapes, but there's a few that use other grapes. So, and fruit wines and stuff like that. So,
let me check that out.
Yeah, while you're here, check them out. Thank you both very much for taking your time to join us. Today's Thursday. I work Saturday evening to close, so that'll be next time I work, and you'll be leaving. So it was a great pleasure to meet you and be able to play golf with you and also to have you on the show. And take care of yourself, and maybe we'll see you next winter when you come back down.
Yeah. Safe travel.
Thank you, Ron.
Thank you, Ron.
Thank you, Mike.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye. Okay. There you go.
Very good.
All right. Very cool. Put the video
quite some
tomorrow.
Excessive traveling. That was fun. That was fun to.
Oh yeah.
You know, people who it's fun to talk to people, and this is something too for you listeners out there. If you've done traveling like this or something, give us a call, because this is enjoyable. What this is we're talking to people who just do this, and they're not trying to promote anything. Yeah, regular people.
Right.
They're not trying to promote something.
Yeah.
They're not trying to talk us into visiting them or going to a website or spending money with them. They're just telling us what it's like out there, and that's always
right.
Very interesting. So if you fall in that category, you would qualify as a guest on All About Wine also. So,
ooh. Yeah,
there you go.
Very cool. So contact the show.
Yep.
Not to say anything about those others who have been on and tried to get us to come out and stuff.
It's great. All of our guests have been fantastic. You know.
Yeah. Yeah,
but it's nice to have
someone
on there. Just yeah, exactly. That's a good point.
Yeah.
Different perspective to the industry.
Right. Yep. Well, it is 8:06, and what in the world time is? Okay, so about 20 seconds off. Better than 7 minutes, like last week. unless you had anything, extra to add.
I have to comment though, since I am from Kansas City, I do have to comment on the Chiefs winning the Super Bowl. Yes, I would be remiss if I didn't at least mention that on the show.
Yep.
So,
I got a lot of hate comments because my dislike and disappreciation of the Eagles. I got some pretty good, interesting foul responses.
I'm not an Eagles fan either.
I am not either. But
yeah,
I'm so far detached from them. It was, I made one little comment and it kind of, interesting. But but I'm glad that Kansas City won. I don't care who they were playing. I'm just glad they won.
It was a good game.
I wasn't
real thrilled with the announcers. A couple of unknowns. I had somebody point out to me that they probably announced in the Southern California, Arizona market. That's why they got that gig.
Mm.
But I was sort of expecting bigger names. I mean, Fox has a lot of big name announcers, and I hadn't heard of these guys. So, but I wasn't real thrilled with the announcers. But the refs blew some calls, and they did a good job and all that. And overall, though, it was a very, very good game. So,
Exciting.
So.
It was. What was it, 4 minutes, I think.
Last four minutes were very
congratulations
good.
To them, and we'll see what next year holds for it.
For everybody,
Yep. It's time to clean slate and start over again. New
start
season.
Over again. Oh, baseball. Spring training started this week.
Well, that's right.
You
follow quite a bit of that.
I usually start announcing spring training coming up long before now, and it just sort of snuck up on me. So, but spring training started this week, and it won't be long before the boys of summer will be back on the field and doing their thing. So,
that's right.
It should be interesting.
All right. We'll cut the show out. We'll be back in 7 days, next Thursday, the 23rd of February. Thank you all for tuning in, and catch us on the archives if you obviously missed the show live. Send us your feedback, comments, or if you want to be a guest, please email allaboutwine101@gmail.com. Oh, I'm sorry. I'll wait till you get a pencil. Okay. Get a pencil or a pen, something right.
Grab a paper.
Paper. Do I have the clock? Where's the clock? No, it's all down. But anyway, allaboutwine101@gmail.com. It's a limited show. We'll just wait the last 20 minutes. We'll just sit here in silence waiting for you to get the right way.
Go get pencil and paper.
Yeah. And then the last 2 minutes. Okay, ready? All right.
Okay, write now. Down.
Yes. Contacted, that goes to Ron. Ron will respond to you and get you set up and schedule you for a future show. We'd love to have you on and read the comments and let us know what you like, what you don't like, that kind of thing. Keep it nice. But we'll talk to you all. Talk to y'all next week. Have a great weekend. And what's the holiday? President's Day? Monday? When is
Monday? Yeah,
there's
that's
something
right.
coming up.
Yeah.
Is it Monday?
Monday's
yeah.
President's
okay.
Day.
President's
yeah.
Day. Yeah.
Oh,
how about that?
That's knocked off on me too. Oh wow.
Yeah. So drink plenty of wine for President's Day.
That's right. I can't think of a better time to do it. You know.
Oh yeah. Okay. Have a great week. We'll talk to you next Thursday.
We'll see you next week.
This concludes tonight's broadcast of All About Wine with your host, Juan. For show information, links to All About Wine on Twitter and Facebook, or to be a guest on this show, visit the show website at www.allaboutwineepr.com. Archived shows are available for download on iTunes or on our show page at blogtalkradio.com/allaboutwine. Thank you for listening. Mm-hmm. Drink responsibly, and we'll see you next time on All About Wine.
Now what, I have to wait 8 seconds for the live stream to catch up?
What, maybe.
Hold on. I guess I do. I'll wait till I see.
Cut it off.
Wow, it is still scrolling. Thank you for listening. Drink responsibly, and we'll see you next time. Yeah, it's like it's still playing the video on the stream. And
wow.
There it goes.
Wow.
All right. Now I can close. Wow, that was a long time.
That was. All right. Green room.
Green room.